Take your Bibles, if you would, with me tonight. We're going to turn to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. Not a traditional Christmas passage. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start reading in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Just that one phrase I want to start out with in verse 11. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts. I think that there are different things about this time of year that are special to some of us. Some like getting together for family, different things to do with the church or the music. But I like giving gifts. I like trying to pick out gifts that are unique and special, trying to figure out what fits that person perfectly. And this time of year is that's really enjoyable for me. Others like getting gifts, I suppose. Once you get to be a father, you better pass that one by. You know, not unless you enjoy socks, underwear, and bad ties. But you got to switch your joys to areas where you can feel successful. And the Bible says here that, it's interesting, you as parents know how to give good gifts to your children. But it adds that little phrase, being evil. The Bible always lays in front of us the fact that at our present state, our daily lives, we have to understand that we live with sin and we live in a sinful world. And that everything we try to do is filtered through that sin. Sometimes successfully, sometimes not successfully. And the Bible constantly draws a distinction between God in heaven, who knows no sin, and those of us who do. And I think sometimes, to start out with, we miss the point. We think that church is for people who don't know what sin is all about. Or that church is for people who are, I don't know what the phrase is, who are some holier than thou, who've been raised to a higher plane. I've actually had people tell me, if I walked through that door, the roof would cave in. You don't know my deacons. You know, you don't know our pastor. You don't know our people. What do you think? We come to church because this has been a good week for us? We're here at church because we've got a handle on things? Well, the Bible reminds us that the reason for this word, the reason for Christ coming, is because of sin and evil. And yet at the same time, the Bible doesn't step all over us. Well, you're just rotten, terrible, you can't do anything, you don't know who you are. The Bible doesn't handle it that way. The Bible also says, even as evil people, you know how to give good gifts to your children. You know how to give. I think that can be very difficult sometimes, trying to give gifts and at Christmas time. Speaking as a man, I think the hardest thing to do is to buy gifts for women. I think that, you know, I'm probably prejudiced in this. I think it's much easier to buy gifts for men than it is for women. I have two women living in my house, and you'd think they could get their act together and be the same. I have my wife, who you can give her any gift in the world, and she says, "Why, thank you. That's nice." You know, you could give her, you know, this huge lump of diamonds and emeralds and rubies, and she'd say, "Why, thank you. That was nice." Or you could give her a bunch of potatoes in the same bucket. "Why, thank you. That was nice." You know, she was trained from a child that that's how you respond to a gift. Why, thank you. And she wants the practical gifts. And then I got my daughter, Beth, who, well, she's kind of old-fashioned. She believes that it's not the gift, it's the thought that counts. Well, you jolly well better come up with a better than a $10 thought. You know, you didn't put more than $10 worth of thought into that gift. You know, you go back out there and think some more. You know, and then the thought will count. Well, that's and you're trying to balance these two out and know what to give. And I think it's interesting, though, the Bible says you know how to give good gifts in this context. And I just want to look at the two sides of it, at how we know how to give good gifts, what we can do according to this passage, and then the comparison that says, yeah, and what your Heavenly Father does is so much better than that. Here's what you can do. Here's how you know how to give good gifts, and maybe apply that to our Christmas giving, and then talk about our Heavenly Father who gives so much better than that. Notice what he means. He starts out in verse 9. What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? The idea is you want to give your children what they want. You really want to do that. Now, sometimes it's hard to convince your children of that. But you really, as a parent, have a desire to give good things to your children, to give your children what they want. By the way, this whole passage is about you should talk to God and tell him what you want because your Heavenly Father wants to give you things. And the Bible says that part of giving is a real deep down desire to please that person, to give that person something that'll satisfy, to give that person something that they will enjoy. And even in the way we give our gifts. How many of you open gifts on Christmas Eve? Some, and the rest Christmas morning. It depends on your family tradition. I always thought it was just a means of getting even. You know, mom and dad, you know, you gotta have to wait. Just have to wait one more night. But as a parent, we do things on sometimes, you know, with family, you do things Christmas Eve because you're traveling or whatever. But we do things on Christmas morning because it's nice to have everybody in one place in the anticipation and to see the look in people's eyes when they open them. It's much better when they're younger. After they get older, you know, it's gone. But just that anticipation and the pleasure of seeing somebody get something that they wanted. That's something about the giving that's good. That's something that you are getting enjoyment out of their pleasure. And that's how God designed it to work. That the gift it's not in the value of it. It's not in a sense of indebtedness, but in a sense that you have pleasure because they were pleased in it. Notice what he says. If your son asks for bread, you won't give him stone. If he asks for fish, you won't give him a serpent. You don't give those things to children. You give children things that are fitting, things that they need, things that they want. We don't give inappropriate gifts. We don't give harmful gifts. There's no way a parent will give certain things. Sometimes there's a little debate. Usually the father is a little bit more willing to give a jackknife or a BB gun a little bit earlier than the mother is willing to do that sort of thing. And then you give the gift, and then your child goes out and carves up your bedpost or something. You hear about it for the next year, and you give better and more appropriate gifts the next year. But the point is that you're trying to give gifts that are fitting and appropriate, and you don't give these things to a child. It's unthinkable that a parent would give something that harmful to a child. I shouldn't say that. Anything that the Bible presents as a norm, you'll always find someone who does that. You always find parents who give alcohol to their children, or parents who give cigarettes to their children, or parents who give whatever, little children running around with this kind of stuff, and it shocks you. But by and large, the vast majority of people, we want to give things that are fitting and things that are appropriate. It's kind of interesting. It says in verse 6, there's a connection between these, what we're reading here in verse 6, a famous verse that we often don't make. Do not give, it's all about giving, what is holy to dogs. Don't cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. The point is here that you, when you have a sense of value of something, and a sense of what's appropriate, you give it fittingly. You don't take the things that are holy of God and just toss them away. You don't cheapen the things of God. Here he's talking about how you deal with hypocrites. And you don't spend your time arguing or trying to share deep thoughts from the Bible with hypocrites, because that's just foolish and they're just going to misuse it and abuse it. But the idea here that underlies this is your giving has to be with thoughtfulness and discretion. You think about what you're giving and you think about who you're giving it to or who you won't give it to. And the idea of giving is that every gift has to be fitting and has to be appropriate. You got to know the person you're giving it to. We got a gift that was waiting for me when I came in to the church office today. Came from the Downey Funeral Home. And it was really nice. They had a pair, had several Hershey's candy kisses, They had apples, cheese, and still have a bottle of Wagner blush. These dear people didn't know whom they were giving this to, you know. I assume that there's, you know, somebody at a Catholic priest who would very much appreciate this, somebody who doesn't share our convictions, but it just struck me, you know, if they had known who they were giving it to, I wasn't sure what to do with it. Ruthie told me that, you know, now they say that it's good for your heart to drink a little every day. And I said, well, you know, I'd have to run that by the deacons, but I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid there'd be a rush saying, hey, my heart's worse than yours. I just had a checkup last week, you know. I don't think so. I think I'll put it under here. One never knows. You can keep the rest, so. It just struck me, though, that they meant very well. And it's rare to find churches with our conviction. And there's certainly no offense intended. But in our circles, if the deacons, by the way, the gift you gave us and the way you gave it to us was beautiful on Sunday night. And we so appreciated that. But what if the deacons were to have presented us with that? The church would have looked in dumb amazement, saying, that's not appropriate, that's not fitting. The point about a gift is the way you give it and to whom you give it have to be fitting. In this case, the way they gave it was beautiful, but what they gave wasn't. And as we give, the Bible teaches us that you know how to give good gifts. You've got to give gifts that are fitting. You've got to give gifts that are thought has gone into them in discernment. And there are certain things you don't give, indicating, I think, that God doesn't answer some prayers. Sometimes you could read what's up above, ask and it will be given unto you, is I ask and God will give me anything. Well, the truth is God will only give you what's fitting and appropriate for you, just like a parent. If your kid came to you and says, you know, I want a scorpion. You know, I want a snake and I want to keep it in the bathroom. You know, your kids come to you and say these things, and you just say, go ask your mother. That solves most of those problems. You're not going to give them that. Your 15-year-old comes to you and he says, you know, they got a new Kawasaki out there. You know, one of these things that'll go up to 120 miles and stops just as quick when it hits a tree. You know, I want one of those. You're not going to do that. I have seen where we pastored before in Maryland, very well-to-do, affluent area. Many, many, many high school seniors got a brand new car on their graduation night. And every year, some child died in a brand new car on graduation night. That would rip you apart, that was your gift. That was, and by the way, others, usually it happens, it's not the driver who gets it, it's the people who are riding with them who end up in that circumstance. And you say, why did I do that? Well, the point about giving is God has made us so that we have a sense of what's right. We have to know that person in order to give the gift. Therefore, the giving has to be personal. The giving is something that expresses your understanding and your knowledge of them. When Adam gave a name to all the animals, he was understanding them and thinking about them. When he gave a name to his wife, her name was woman or Isha in the garden, he was looking at her and discerning that she was just like him. And his giving even of a simple thing like a name was very personal. And that's the way giving is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a recognition of this is what I see in you and this is what's appropriate. And notice, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. The Bible indicates that we give, in this passage, I'm not saying this is exclusive for the whole Bible, to people with whom we have an exclusive relationship. We don't give gifts up and down the neighborhood. We go to the Commons to buy gifts and to look at the people. But we don't go there to hand out gifts to everybody that comes by. I didn't say I got to get those skateboarders on my, you know, on the commons on my shopping list, you know. And I got to get the guy who dresses in pink leotards. I got to get him on my shopping list. I have a family and we have friends. And that's a problem every year. It's how exclusive do we get? But you give gifts to people with whom you have an exclusive relationship. And he uses this analogy because when we come to God, you can't just come to God and say, give me what I want. God gives gifts to us on the same basis that we give gifts to our children because he has a relationship with us. If we are his children, we come to him and ask him for things. If we have established that relationship through Jesus Christ, God says, if you want to be my children, then you've got to get to know my son. I don't let you just come one by one by one. You want to be my children. This is my son. You come through him. You have a relationship with him. You become one with him. Then you're my children. And he indicates that this giving is very, very exclusive, just like up above in verse 6. It's not indiscriminate giving to anyone in any place, irrespective of whether they want it or irrespective of whether they can handle it. He gives gifts to his children, and we give gifts to our children, to our family, to those with whom we have relationships. Now let me compare that to verse 11, the end of it. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? The Bible indicates that all of our giving here on earth is a reflection, a small, inadequate reflection of what God does in heaven. Everything we do here on earth is simply recreating who and what God is. God doesn't set down one rule for us and one rule for him. We are to observe him and to do what he does. Be ye holy because I'm holy. And even in the smallest things like our giving, the way we give, what we give, how we give it, to whom we give it, is a reflection of how God has given things to us. And our responsibility as Christians is to say what I'm doing is I'm participating in heavenly things. I am trying to recreate what God does. Ancient religions in the Old Testament were based on this idea of reciprocal activity. That if you wanted God to rain down rain from the heavens, you made the noise and the sounds and the dances of rain on earth, and then God would respond to what you do on the earth. You do this on the earth. That's why all the Hopi Indians and the rain dance and the drums, that's meant to recreate the sound of the thunderstorms. And then the gods they believed in heaven would respond to what happens on the earth and send down rain. It's kind of a reciprocal activity. Well, the truth is, it's the other way around. We look at the Bible, and the Bible teaches us we're supposed to look at our Father and see how he does things, and we do them in the same way. We're supposed to say, if this is how we give gifts, how much greater does our Heavenly Father do it? And what we're doing is only a small reflection of him. I never pray for the offering. I believe, especially, a pastor should be as separate from finances and collecting offerings as possible. I think it's a function of the local church. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just think that the more you keep it obvious that that's a function of the church and not of the pastor, it's clearer lines. But I don't know how many times, probably every other time one of the men prays, they say, we're giving back to you just a small portion or a small token of what you've given to us. And when we give gifts, that's exactly what we're doing on Christmas morning. We're saying, look what God gave to us. Look what we've got. And we're giving gifts to you, our children. Sometimes we do it just to get their pleasure. Sometimes we do it just because we love them. Sometimes we do it because it's so fitting and right. But above all, we do it because our Heavenly Father has given us so much more. We've been so much more blessed by what he can give us. You know, our kids can give their dads ties and socks, but God gave their dad good health throughout the entire year. God gave their father the family throughout the year. God gave their father safety throughout the year. God gave their father their mother throughout the year. You know, so what if I get more socks? So what if I get more whatever? God has given me so much that my giving to my children is a simple reflection of what he's given to me. And every gift I give makes me think, how much more did my Father give me? How much more has he given me in Jesus Christ? It says in times past, God spoke to people, what was read just a few minutes ago, in different ways. But now he spoke to us through his Son. Jesus came as a baby simply so that he could grow up. Not to be worshipped as a child and to be kept in that manger, but because he would grow up and be there for us, to be able to speak to us, to be able to die for us, to be able to rise from the dead for us and to come back for us with that same body. That's what he gave for us. When you consider how much Christ gave up and how much the Father gave up, Christ, God gave up his relationship with his Son for us. How can I not give things to my children? And every time I'm satisfied with a gift that I give, every time I feel like this is appropriate, every time there's an experience of love and concern as I give a gift, it's supposed to make me think about my Father. How much more has he given me? How can I possibly not be grateful? How can I be anything but joyous at this time of year? How can it be anything else? Because he's done so much more for me. And that's what this passage is all about. He gives good things to those who ask him. Just one little note. Luke 11:11, we won't turn there, look later, is the same passage in Luke, almost word for word with one change. Luke 11:11 reads, "How much more will your Father who is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about the role of the Holy Spirit in Christmas, and we did it from the Gospel of Luke, and I told you it was because Luke continually emphasized the Holy Spirit's ministry. Luke always emphasizes, because he emphasized Christ as a man, therefore he emphasized the role of the Holy Spirit in empowering Christ the man. And so it's interesting, the same, and when he talks about a good gift that the Father gives, Luke epitomizes that, probably a second time Jesus taught the same thing. I don't believe all of these passages are exactly parallel. Christ taught the same thing at different times, and Luke would pick up some things from the people who heard him, and then Matthew, of course, who was there to hear it, other things. But the point is, the greatest gift that we have, as great as Christ, is the Holy Spirit. And we can't forget that. That Jesus Christ dying for us would not have helped us a bit if God hadn't sent, and Christ also hadn't sent, the Holy Spirit to us to bring that salvation to us. And the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And that's the greatest gift we can have. And if you want to celebrate Christmas, if you want a gift, that's what you should be asking for. If you're unbeliever, if you're a believer, don't ask for it. You got it. You won't get it a second time. But you got to ask yourself, do I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me? The third person of the Godhead, God himself inside of me. God says, I will give that to those who ask. Anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved and will have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. God never, ever has withheld his Holy Spirit from one person who has asked. The reason is, he prompts you to, he leads you to, he draws you to, he works you to. But you'll do it if you ask. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit tonight, it says, just ask. God will give that good thing to you. Let's pray. Father, we gather tonight to set aside as a church and sanctify this holiday to you. We praise you for what we have, for the benefits of our family, for the joy, for the safety that we've enjoyed that brings us all together tonight. I just praise you, Father, for the love that you've brought, not only as a church family, but in the individual families. I praise you just for the beauty of it, having snow on the ground for Christmas and things like that. They just move us. But far beyond that, we praise you for the heavenly, the eternal things that you give to us. Eternal life,
your Son, the Holy Spirit, the desire and the ability to lead a different life, to walk in ways that are safe, that are eternal, that don't follow this world, to live a life that's pleasing to you, and to live with you forever. I pray, Father, that this might be the desire of every person worshiping your Son tonight, that we would wait for him and desire to see him, and that one day with these eyes we will see our Redeemer standing on the face of this earth. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.